Friends, I'm turning to Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. I'm reading verses 1 and 2. My emphasis actually is in the second verse there, a word there. But Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The second verse there, to the saints and faithful brethren. And so in a single study, we're thinking this evening about faithful. Christians are so-called faithful. If you follow that, you remember that when we're not meeting in the evenings in one of the Bible studies that we sent via email, we briefly treated that faithful, but it was short, and of course not necessarily I had to leave out a number of things, so I desire to really speak about that again, because it's such a rich word, and the Bible uses that to describe every Christian, and we should all long to be called faithful, and I hope that I will appreciate the breadth of this, because it's so amazing what the scripture means. In fact, it is such an important term that as I will turn to a number of texts this evening, you would see that sometimes the Bible clearly implies that if somebody isn't faithful, he cannot be a child of heaven. It's quite a striking thing, and so it's quite a thing to consider. Who is the faithful person? How do we describe a faithful Christian? How do we describe him? Sometimes we think that, oh, if a person is regularly involved in everything that we do, well, he must be a faithful person. Obviously, if somebody is a faithful person, he will be involved in everything, his lookout check does, but there's far more to it than that. And so we want to explore this. And I want to start with the Old Testament. The last time I didn't, but it's helpful to see. So I go first of all, I want to pick up the two main words that are translated faithful in the Old Testament. One of them is the regular one, the first one. The second one, King James translates it faithful only once in the whole of the Old Testament. Usually it is translated something else, which I will mention when we get there. So I now go to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, and this is about Moses. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, but let me start from 6 to make that clear. This is the Lord speaking. At this time, Moses' relatives, Aaron and Miriam, have opposed Moses, and the Lord came in to rebuke them. And as he was rebuking them, that's what he said. Verses 7, and he said, "Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. But, I beg your pardon, my servant Moses is not so. He who is faithful in all mine house." Who is faithful in all mine house? And in Hebrews chapter 3, this is referred to again concerning Moses and his faithfulness to God. Let's go there straight away, because it's in the New Testament. The connection has to be seen. Exact thing is said, but it's quite helpful to see how it's put. Hebrews chapter 3, and it is verse 2. But let's start, please, from verse 1 to make it clear. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." You will realize that here the faithful is in the italic, meaning literally it's not in the Greek, but it is supplied because the verse suggests it, because it's being compared to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is called faithful, and the text means Moses was the same. Sorry. If you come to verse 5, it is more clearly stated, "And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." The things that will be spoken after will be about the Lord Jesus Christ. So Moses' faithfulness was compared to that of the Lord. And this is quite striking, isn't it?
And so, when you're talking about faithfulness, you always need a noble standard to compare with. Otherwise, you can easily make huge mistakes. How do I know I'm a faithful person? There has to be a standard. And the standard is the Lord Himself. And it's in Revelation also. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is a standard for faithfulness. And it is said, Moses was faithful in all God's house. The Hebrew means he was firm. He was trustworthy. He was believing. A kind of person you can believe in. And reliable. That's what it means. And so, this is Moses. Well, we would speak a little more about that, but let me back to Numbers chapter 12. And those words there, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. Faithfulness, you would see, and I will touch on that again, faithfulness touches on every department of our calling. Somebody isn't a faithful person if only keeps to the rules, or in only some small part of the things that the Lord wants him. A faithful person will be faithful in every department, everything. In all my house, says God, concerning Moses. And so, this is a person who is reliable and can be trusted. Now, I go to Nehemiah chapter 7. There's another word there, but Nehemiah, and it's chapter 7 and verse 2. Nehemiah chapter 7 and verse 2. Again, I start from verse 1 to make it clearer. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I set up the doors, and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a faithful man and feared God above many. And so, to appoint somebody to be in charge of Jerusalem at this time, Nehemiah went for somebody describes as faithful. And the word means, the word is regularly translated in our King James, true. Somebody who is true, either true or truly. That's the word often translated. And so, a faithful person, somebody who is true. He is always true. He will not lie. He will not pretend. He will seek to be genuine and true before the Lord and true in all his dealings with others. He means what he says. He's not saying one thing and he desires another. A faithful person is a true person. And friends, this is obvious, isn't it? This must mark a Christian. If somebody isn't true, he cannot be a genuinely praying person. I'm sure you know that. You can't be a genuine praying person if you're a liar. And you're interested in lies. You're interested in pretense and in mere show and in mere impression upon people. And you don't desire to be real and true. You cannot pray. You cannot pray real prayers. As we often say, unless your prayer is like the kind that people pray on the park, clapping their hands, things like that. Because it's no prayer. But to go to Almighty God requires opening your heart to Him. And it requires sincerity. It requires you to be true to Him. And so faithfulness means, I am true. I am true before the Lord. It doesn't mean I am perfect, but it doesn't mean I do not knowingly pretend. I do not lonely pretend as if things are right with me when it's not right with me. So you see, faithfulness is a rich word. And as we mentioned, it applies to every department of my life. Moses was faithful in all of God's house. Not some selected aspects, but everything. Everything that has to do with God's house, Moses was interested. And Moses felt a burden. Moses felt responsibility to make sure it's done, or it's done in the Lord's way. And so faithfulness is an all-embracing virtue. When I am a faithful person, anything God is interested in, I am interested in. And so that's the point, you see. That's just a very beautiful term, isn't it? Oh, to be regarded as faithful by the Lord. The Lord may look upon me and say, this is a reliable person. I can look upon this brother, this my child, in that local church there. And he's a reliable person because he would do everything as I've told him. And he would take care in every department to do exactly that. And he will stand genuine before me, pretending nothing. When he fails, he won't pretend as if nothing has happened. He will come begging for mercy and begging to be dealt with kindly and forgiven so that he may walk with the Lord. This is the faithful person we're thinking about, you see. Now, I want to turn to a passage in Luke and just give you an idea of some of the areas the Lord Jesus Christ applied. And it will amaze you that our faithfulness is truly must fetch us in various aspects of our lives. As I go to Luke's Gospel chapter 16, it's because we're touching on all God's house that I'm turning to this. But I'll come to New Testament to explore a few more verses. And so Luke chapter 16, Gospel of Luke chapter 16. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. I start from verse 10. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. And verse 10, from verses 10 to 12. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So you see something strikingly about faithfulness there. Faithfulness, the person is a virtue possessed by the person, and he shows it in everything. So that whether the thing is small or great, you find the same person. He isn't selective, saying, okay, if you gave me a big responsibility, you come and say what a wonderful thing I would do. You'll find me very reliable in that big responsibility. Oh, but give me that small one, I'll really snub it and treat it as nothing at all. No, that's not what a faithful person does. Why? Because his faithfulness is toward God. So the Hebrew passage has said, Moses was faithful to him who appointed him. Oh, I'm sorry I didn't point that out in Hebrews. Moses was faithful to him. Faithfulness has a focus. It is the Lord. It is the Lord who's giving me this task. It's for his sake that I must do this and that. And so I would do it, whether small or great, you see. And so the faithful person isn't selecting. He's saying everything whatsoever. You know, friends, so if we love the Lord, nothing at all done for the Lord is too small. You know that? Because, you know, whatever needs to be done for the Lord, you say, I'm so unworthy to be called upon by the Lord to do that small task. No part at all is too small if it is for the Lord. Every part of it is so noble, so high, that we desire us to do it. And listen, the Lord Jesus Christ applies to it another way. Look at it here. Verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? This is a frightening verse. Because you understand what it says? It straight away says this. The small thing is unrighteous mammon. Unrighteous mammon is the material things of this world. Money, possessions, whatever I have. And the Lord is saying, if you have not been faithful in the small things that you were given on earth, who will give you the heavenly riches, which are the true ones? If I have not been faithful in the way I manage the material things that God gave me, if I didn't manage it as a servant who wants to please his Lord, recognizing that it's only a steward, we'll come to a verse that tells us that a faithful person feels himself a steward, somebody who feels that something is entrusted to him. He isn't a boss, he isn't a big man, he's merely a servant. And he's also a steward. And if this person, if he's not been faithful in the management of the material things in a way that it will please the Lord, how can he be sure that the heavenly things will be given him? This is striking, isn't it? So you see, a faithful person cannot, friends, you cannot manage your material things according to your own taste. We can't do that. We are Christians. We belong to the Lord. Everything we have must count for him. You remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said that we use the material things of this world to make friends in heaven. In other words, we want it to count for the Lord. We are allowed to use some of the things we have for ourselves. By all means, we cannot live miserable lives. And they said, oh, we are giving all of them to the service of the Lord or anything like that. No, we are supposed to take care of ourselves and our family and things like those. Of our friends, make sure that you're managing them properly as the Lord will have you manage them. Because, you know, in 2 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul was speaking to the Corinthians, he told them that the way, if they want to show that they are people who are mature in every department of their lives, you should include the area of their giving also. And so he says that if you want to be seen, since you are maturing in wisdom and not in knowledge and in utterance, make sure that you are also advancing in giving. Because Apostle Paul said, it is a test of your sincerity. It is a test of whether you are a sincere person who truly has the things of God at heart or whether it's not true. And so, if I'm faithful in the management of material things, there'll be an abundance assurance that surely the Savior has touched my heart, because everything we have must count for Christ. Everything. Well, in some way, in some form. Or other. And so this is another example, isn't it? If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Or who will commit to your trust the true? Because the riches is in italics and is literally not in the Greek, but it's implied. And then verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Another matter. You know, some people, I don't know what I've told you, I have a pastor friend who told me of another pastor friend. In fact, he's no longer anywhere near the ministry now. But he told me he had a pastor friend that when they were in the Bible school, I think he said he was in the same church with this friend, and they happened to go to Bible school also. And he said that, you know, this my friend, that his trouble is that in all things, if you gain responsibility and he is not the one in charge, nothing will succeed. Because he will undermine it. If he is in charge, then okay, everything is okay. But if he is not in charge, then he must ruin it. He must simply cancel it. Do everything he can to make it unsuccessful. And he told me that he was surprised he was going to be a pastor, because that would be a huge trouble for him. In fact, thankfully, he never became a pastor. He became a chief. That would be better for him. He became a chief in his village. And so, he had nothing to do with the ministry now. And so I think that's a relief for the cause of Christ. Now, if I'm a person who cannot manage somebody's thing, unless there's something for me in it, of course, that's not faithfulness. Faithfulness doesn't say, you know, I will give myself wholly to this because there's something in it for me. If I manage it well, everybody will see me. Everybody will admire me. And so, yes, I'm going to be committed to it. If there's nothing like that for me, then I'm not going to be dedicated whatsoever. Well, of course, that's not service to Christ. That's not faithfulness at all. This is simply self-service. And so, Christians avoid this entirely. Our hearts are for the Lord. And we want to serve Him. And we want to honor Him. And so, if I am not faithful, if it belongs to another, and there's nothing at all for me, and I'm not faithful in that, then I will not be giving my own. Of course, I won't be giving to us in heaven. Here, everything we do it for someone. The Lord. We do it for His honor and name. It's only in heaven that the Lord will reward us and say, well done, my faithful servant, because you've been faithful. In small things, I'll give you larger things. And so, friends, so faithfulness really touches in every department. It touches on the motive. It belongs to the Lord. If the Lord only will have the glory in this, would I be zealous for that? Would I be fired up for that? Or there has to be a root to a kind of self-praise and self-applause before I become aroused to that. Then, of course, it cannot be faithfulness. It is something else. It's self-service. And there's no place at all in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so, faithfulness must touch in every department, you see. This is just a little insight into that, dear friends. So, if we should ask ourselves, every one of us, am I a faithful person? am I trying everything to say, this thing must honor the Lord. This thing must glorify Him. This thing must let Him be known. I don't care whether I am noticed or not. It doesn't, friends, it doesn't really matter. We are too small. We are dying creatures. We are here for a short time. Are we gone? It is the Lord that must be noticed. He is the Lord. He is the glorious King of Kings. It is merely an honor that we are made useful in any small department of His work. Oh, He alone must be glorified in all things. And we should be so happy to see Him. He must increase, but I must decrease, says John the Baptist. And so is a faithful person's heart. Friends, let me turn you to other places in Scripture, in the New Testament, just to highlight a few things about true faithfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 2. I think I've touched briefly on this, but just to draw your attention to this once again. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Let me start from verse 1 to make it a bit more clearer. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is recording stewards that a man be found faithful. And so, those of us who know that something has been entrusted to us, it is a requirement for us to be faithful. And he says, first of all, that ministers of the gospel are stewards. We have something entrusted to us. Of course, it's the same with every Christian also, because God is giving to us His gifts and graces. We've seen that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12. We're looking at that in our studies in 1 Peter also. And so, as stewards of God's manifold blessings, we are called to be faithful. And so, faithfulness comes along with a mindset that I'm a steward. They go hand in hand, you see. A faithful person tells himself, I'm only a steward. I'm appointed to watch over this, to take care of something. And in that process, I must be found faithful. The word means reliable. A person who can be trusted. A person who can be... You can look upon that person and say, he would do exactly as he's told. And this is one of the things we are told that one of the strong training you want to give your child very early is to help the child to appreciate the fact that he must do as he is told. And that's it. They say it's a very powerful foundation for a child. Otherwise, it is so easy for that child to go astray very early. As you want the child to learn very early, you only do what you are told. Why? Because you recognize the fact that you are not wise, you're really a baby, your parents know better, and so you listen to them, and they must tell you what must be done and things like this. Now, while we are the same spiritually, if I'm a steward, I see myself as only a steward. I am. Things have been entrusted to me. The other day we were discussing that. We have our gifts given to us, graces given to us, and we are answerable to God. One day we shall give an account. We don't seem to think of this that often. We shall give an account, my dear friends. And so we are stewards. And it requires of us to be trustworthy, to do exactly as the Master said. And so it should be our mark. Friends, are we like that? Are we striving to say, how does the Lord say this must be done? How has the Lord said this must be treated? How this must be handled? I cannot determine things of myself. I want it that way. This is my way. As for me, this is the way I do my things. This is the way I handle my things. And steward says, oh no, I can't do that. I'm only a steward. I am only a steward. My Lord, my boss, is in heaven. I only want to discover His mind. How does He want me to do His things? Then He will be with me. And then He will bless me. Then He will support me. Then He will uphold me. If I do my own thing, well, He will desert me. He will not be with me. God will never bless my opinions. He will not bless my ideas. He blesses His own. Because His is Himself, reflects Himself. Mine may reflect me, God will not glorify me. Why should he glorify me? I'm a mere poor, a petty creature. He glorifies himself, and I am blessed because I want him glorified. That's all. That's our business. And so, my dear friends, ask him what we say. I want to know how he wants me handle matters. And then he will surely show me. And Apostle Paul says that this is why he was at point of 1 Timothy chapter 1. Friends, forgive me, I'll be taking you around a little because I want us at least remember some of the texts. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You remember that the same thing that was said of Nehemiah and appointed Hananiah to be in charge of Jerusalem. Oh friends, every sensitive responsibility, in fact we should say, every responsibility among the Lord's people, that is the supreme requirement. Is he a faithful person? So we are not asking, does he? It's a part of it, but not the only question we ask. Is he coming to every meeting? This is part of it by all means, but that's not the only question we are asking. Is he faithful? Is he, does he have a servant spirit? Does he feel himself a steward? Does he strive to know the mind of God concerning a thing to do it? Or is he a boss? Or is an important person in his own eyes, wanting to do things in his own way? Well, people who want to do things in their own way have no place in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every person there is a person that strives to say, oh Lord, not my will, but what thy will is. And so, the Lord will appoint us into his responsibilities only when we are faithful. And friends, one of the things that every pastor will tell you down history's line is that if I am unfaithful, God always has a way to remove me. He does that. He does it in the most neat way sometimes. It will not become often a very crushing situation. He does that very neatly. If I won't be faithful, he will be patient with me. And be patient with me. And be patient with me for a while. By and by, he will remove me. He will take me away from there. Why? Because he appoints faithful men. He must trust the person. This is easy to understand, isn't it? If I have a small business and I want a caretaker over that, what kind of caretaker would you want? Somebody, when you tell him, please, when the customers come, do this, and they say, well, boss, I think that what this is the way I'm going to handle the customers. This is my way of handling customers. That's what I'm going to do. Well, of course, eventually you say, well, then we cannot work, isn't it? We cannot work together until there's a servant spirit. And so it is, my dear friends. And so faithfulness is so vital. Vital to be useful in the service of Christ. To be retained in the service of Christ. And it's useful for us to be able to walk with the Lord also. And so this is another aspect of that faithfulness. And friends, I come to another passage because I have a number of passages and I don't know which one to turn to. I'm sorry. Please, I'm going to go to the Gospel of Matthew because this tells us that it requires us to keep our eyes upon the Master if we'll be faithful. And so I want us to explore that a little. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, I beg your pardon. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 and verse 45. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? You see the stewardship coming in again. Faithful and a ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. And so, now, this is the first, but we will contrast it very soon. You see the point I was trying to make. And so the point is this. The steward is that person who feels himself that something is entrusted to him. He is set over something. for which he must do as his Lord wanted him to do it. And so the Lord Jesus Christ said that blessed is that servant who would do this to the very end. This is another aspect of faithfulness. A faithful person is determined not only to do as the master wants, he is determined to do it to the very end. He's not doing it 2, 3, 10 years and say, you know, I think I've done well. I remember that I have done so much already. No, to the very end. And so he is a faithful servant who will go on in his duty until the master comes. The master comes and finds him still in the business, still in the task, carrying it forth. And so we should be. Faithfulness includes a determination. We don't feel ourselves strong enough. No, Christians don't think that we are strong in ourselves to keep going till the master comes. But it is our desire. And we cry to him, oh Lord, let me not be a 9-day wonder kind of person. Let me go on and persevere. After all, the Lord Jesus Christ said, it is they that persevere to the end. They are the ones that are saved. And so, faithfulness means that we want to go on to the very end. So it requires what we call stickability. I cleave to my work. I want to hold on to it. You can't leave it that easily. Unless by God's unmistakable guidance, he moves you somewhere. You can't easily let down your task. Friends, may the Lord help us. It is one of the things we need to help young Christians to appreciate now. You can't be a kind of a freelance person. Dr. Masters used to say this a lot, and it's even in one of his books. He speaks about the early times in the Metropolitan Tabernacle when he went there as a pastor. And very many warm-hearted Christians there. And one of the problems he spotted was that every time, almost every other week or so, a sister will come and say, oh, you know, my friend is having such a special program in another church and I want to go. And another time, you know, about 2, 1 month or so, oh, I want to go to that other place. And so it was this kind of thing every time. And the master said, well, he had to call these young persons and sit them down and say, you know, if you do this, we cannot sustain a witness. There has to be stickability. There are some of the things you must go. But sift through them. Sift through them. Which ones are really present? Which ones must really be, I must? Which are the others that you can say, okay, I may not be able to go, but I'll go the next time and say, please, happy birthday, belated happy birthday, or something like that, or something. And so the point is this, we are social persons with connections to people. We owe them a measure of social contact, and we must never throw that away. Oh, but we must also always weigh them, especially when I have a task to carry. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm somebody who must carry on some responsibility. It has to be truly, truly necessary for me to put it there before I put it there to go to something else. And so it's the idea. I must be found doing that. And not only that, to find myself doing that till the Lord comes, my dear friends. Oh, should the Lord move me elsewhere by his clear will. So we tell young persons, don't easily move away without being sure that you not live in a vacuum and hurting the work of the Lord, and that wherever you yourself will move to, you will still be able to serve the Lord meaningfully. You don't just say, hey, a door is open to me, I am going this place, going to this place. Oh, please, sir, you must think it through carefully, dear friends. It is your Christian duty. It is my Christian duty to think through these things very carefully and see. Because friends, you know, I'm sure if you are a young Christian, it wouldn't take long until you know this for real. That it's one of Satan's schemes to ruin your faith. Before you realize, it takes you, cuts you off Christian fellowship. And then the old sins begin to set in. Because you're no longer under the constant reminder of the scriptures. And so the old sins begin to creep in. And before you realize, it's a serious fall. Satan's very clever. And how the Lord has designed faithfulness to protect us. So that we stick to our tasks. of course, we would sometimes owe other people responsibility to, by all means, go and offer some help or something like that. But how thoughtful, how careful we should be. And so we want to do that up to the very end. This idea of going on to the very end. Please just put your hand at Matthew 24, because I'll come there again. But I want us to look at another passage that stresses doing that to the very end, friends. So Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, and it's verse 10. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Isn't that amazing? What's that crown of life? Is that like eternal life that will be given to us to really cover our lives when this life is over? And the Lord says, I give it to him who is faithful to the very end. Fear not these things that you shall suffer. Dear brethren, it is required of us as Christians. Don't be afraid of difficulties. For Christ's sake, please, don't think only of advantages. Weigh them in the balances of your availability for the service of Christ. That's what we call faithfulness. Oh, friends, I know a few young persons back in Cape Coast, and recently it's been so encouraging how they are proving the Lord. Well, of course, you have others that are breaking your heart. That's so in every church, sadly. But these brethren that are proving the Lord, and I know one of them was earnestly in search for a job. And he had a job here in Accra. Somebody offered him a job, and he did the calculations and said, no, I think this will move me, and at the moment I don't think I can leave this aspect of the service of the Lord and go. In fact, it was sure probably it would have been possible for him to come here and worship with us, but the work would have involved him really being moved to all over the country every time. And he said, no. And so he was on, jobless, going on, doing petty works as a professional, doing petty works elsewhere. And, sometimes, I can tell you this, sometimes some of these young persons, they are encouraged to do that. Sometimes it makes you shiver within as a pastor, because you are thinking and saying, oh, but brother, but you have only one trousers. So you are concerned about him, but he doesn't care. No, I'm not going to leave this work here. I'm not going to leave it because of that. And very recently, we found them, at least I know two of them, finding very, very neat work right in Cape Coast, beyond all expectation. Their faith has been proved, friends. We are called to prove the Lord. Faithfulness means I put the Lord first, and I say, I will stick to his things unless it is unmistakably clear that he wants me to move elsewhere. Otherwise, I'll cling to it. I will not be moved merely by personal advantages and personal gains. This will be so low down the line. I'll be concerned more about worship, about my involvement in the service of Christ. And the Lord rewards it every time. Faithfulness. And we should do that to the very end of our lives. Oh, dear friends, let it be that if you bear responsibility, by the grace of God, 20 years time, you can still say, you know, I have stuck to this work for 20 years. Friends, it would so powerfully strengthen your faith. You know why? Because you would have proven the Lord, seen answers to prayer, seen the Lord's blessing over that effort. And when you are talking about the Lord blessing his work, you will not just be talking words. You would have proved it. You'd have known it, that the Lord indeed blesses his work in his own way. And no, nothing can move that faith, because he's proved it. And you know that the Lord is ever faithful. Friends, if you would not prove the Lord, your faith will always be weak. And Satan will easily shake you every time some trouble comes. And doubt will overwhelm us. So faithfulness is for our own benefit also, you see. We want to cling to the Lord, cling to his things to the very end. Not 10 years, not 20 years, but as long as we have our breath, to be there, to be there, ever standing with the Lord. But please come back to the Matthew passage, because there's a contrast that is a bit frightening to think of. And so, back in Matthew chapter 24, you remember we read 45 and 46. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So he must be found doing that to the master. Come now, look at the opposite. It's starting 48, but let's read 47 first. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. In other words, he will reward such a faithful servant. But look at 48. But an if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and look at his end, 51, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The very minimum this passage says is that if somebody is persistently unfaithful, he cannot be a genuine Christian. He's a hypocrite. And the Lord will assign him with a hypocrite by and by. He isn't faithful. He doesn't care about the will of his Lord. He doesn't care about cleaving to the responsibilities, having his eyes upon the Lord, doing for his Lord, doing it for his, not for himself, desiring his Lord to be glorified. If such a person doesn't have any heart, he doesn't have such a heart, then eventually his Lord will show him to be a hypocrite, as he will apportion his part with a hypocrite, he says. And so, and the servant, we are told, how did he prove unfaithful? Well, he thought that his Lord would delay. His Lord is delaying, and he thought that therefore, well, he could do what he wanted. He didn't have his eyes upon his Lord, saying, my Lord may be here anytime soon. My Lord will be in this house, and I must stick to my work whilst he's away. He thought, like some people saying, when is the Lord really coming? They said he's coming, and he's coming. He doesn't seem to be coming. And so perhaps we can relax and then do as we want. Maybe later years, then we'll pick up again. Oh no, he that has his eyes upon the Lord remembers that. Why? If the Lord doesn't come immediately, even if he doesn't come immediately, there's always the danger. If I become lax, there's the danger of I becoming hardened, becoming distracted, and becoming disobedient. I must keep his coming in view. The Lord is coming. He's the one I'm waiting for. He's the one that will reward me. He's the one for whose sake I serve. Friends, if I will not serve for that sake, then I will surely be distracted and be lured. And so, friends, a faithful person has his eyes upon the Lord, and he does his work continually to the very end. And that is his aim, ever praying for that. And the Lord will surely help and bless him, my dear friends. Now, I want us just to close with this one. We read that about the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, back again to that Hebrews chapter 3 passage, now referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll turn to another in Revelation, then we begin to wrap up. Hebrews chapter 3 first, and verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Why consider him? Why consider the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he is our Lord. He laid down his life for us. He purchased forgiveness of sins and reconciliation with his Father for us. He brought us spiritual life. For his sake we have access to heaven. We have understanding. Our minds are opened up now. We know the meaning of life. But also this. He is our example. He is our example and standard of faithfulness. You see, So my dear friends, a faithful person is never satisfied with what he's done now, because the standard is so high. My friends, can't you feel this? You've been able to do a few things for the Lord, but you're also so keenly conscious of so many areas you need his help, isn't it? And so, a faithful person never gets to a point where he begins to applaud himself. You know, I'm a faithful person, and I've been faithful all this while. Friends, such words will be choking your throat. It can't happen. Unless you don't know the standards. Why? Have you looked at every area of your life and see where it doesn't conform? In zeal, for example. It's my zeal, like that of a Savior. My prayerfulness, is it like his? My willingness to do my Father's will in all things, is it like his? No. And so we are called to be faithful, but we ever feel that we've never reached it. We've never reached the height. The standard is ever high. This is why the Christian who is really walking with the Lord is ever humble. He sees so much that makes him feel he needs the Lord's help and he needs the Lord's enabling. The Lord Jesus Christ is the standard of faithfulness. And remember that passage in Revelation, I close with this one, Revelation chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ was reminding that church too. And it's quite striking, it is this church that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. And he goes on. And this is a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. This, he tells the church himself, he, I am the one speaking to you, the faithful and the true witness. He's reminding the church of that, because the Laodicean church was had become very unfaithful. Faithfulness has to be true with individual Christians. It has to be true with the church also, dear friends. We must hold fast to whatever the Lord has taught us. Whatever we are persuaded of in his word, we must hold on to the very end. We are hearing of churches compromising. Churches that for all kinds of reasons are turning aside to all manner of things. Churches that were once sound and faithful, representing the things of the Lord in all sincerity, somehow a new generation has arisen and they are throwing everything away. When I was coming from Cape Coast, I was reading this book, A New Covenant. It's part of our reading ministry back in Cape Coast. There's a group in the UK now, and they are part of the group we call the New Covenants. And the surprising thing is that they blazingly could say that they want to run churches in a way that's different from how churches have been. This is quite bold, isn't it? So they don't care about over 2,000 years of how churches have been run. They want to introduce new things. And they call themselves reformed people. Be thou faithful unto the end, the Lord says, as a church. And you know, it's often said that one of our very respectable reformers said that truth has no grandchildren. You understand that? He meant this, that every generation must fight for the truth afresh. The fact that the church is true today doesn't mean automatically it will be a true church 10 years to come. If its leaders won't be watchful, won't be cleaving to the word, it's not automatic. Challenges will come to lure, to confuse, to attract, to distract. Will they be clear? Will they be so clear? Will the members be so clear about what the church stands for and support it and support their leaders so that they stand together in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years to come? Oh, dear friends, We are called to be faithful. This means that you must, dear friends, you and I, all of us must be learning people, sincere people, people who desire, whose ears are only open to what the scriptures say. If I'm a servant, if I'm a steward, I cannot open my ears to opinions and ideas in the things of the Lord. We open our ears to only the things the Lord has taught us. We must tell ourselves. We must see. We know we say this kind of thing, that we don't have to be told truth. We must be shown that we are proving it from Scripture. Don't be satisfied. Oh, that the thing that the pastor said seems wonderful. He should have been able to demonstrate it to us from the Scriptures so that we can go back and check it out. And then our own convictions will be deepening also, dear brethren. Otherwise, you will not be strong to support the leaders in being faithful to the end. One day you will give them up, or they will give you up because they may be unfaithful, and whilst you want to be faithful, or something like that, dear friends. Oh, friends, may we cleave to the Lord. The heart, the central thing about faithfulness is genuineness. Oh, may we all possess this genuine heart. So that, you know, if I have any difficulty over anything, it is not because I have a kind of a personal agenda, but I genuinely have difficulty grasping this. I genuinely have difficulty understanding this as I want to search it out. I want to learn. I want to see. I want to inquire. A faithful person is a reliable person. It's a truthful person. It's a sincere person. God looks upon him and says, this person isn't faking anything. He is weak. He needs support. He needs to be taught. But he isn't faking anything. He's opened his heart to me. And the Lord will bless and he will help us. May the Lord help us, my dear friends. There's no hope for any church unless the pastor, the leaders and the members desire in their hearts to be faithful. And that to the very end. Not for a few years to come. To cleave to the things they believe. And keep learning. And prove the Lord for yourself. Friends, inward conviction is different from head conviction. The devil knows how easily to outwit you. If your convictions are only in your head. You must prove them. You must know that they are true. You must know the Lord confirming these things for us. And then by the grace of God, you'll be unshakable. We will grow and deepen and remain true to the Lord to the very end. May the Lord help us and strengthen each one of us to be faithful.